I'm thankful for the Lord's goodness and His faithfulness to us. Thankful that we have this opportunity to meet together and ask that the Lord would speak to us through His Word and desire your prayers. The Lord's given me a message this week I feel like to share with you and pray that it'll be a blessing and a help to us. I'd like to begin in the book of Hebrews, the third chapter, written on the board, A Tender Heart. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's begin in the 7th verse of Hebrews 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Harden not your hearts. There is a danger and a risk to us as humankind of hardening our hearts. It's speaking here of the children of Israel that had seen many mighty works that the Lord had done. They had seen the Lord deliver out of the land of Egypt. They had witnessed every one of those plagues that the Lord brought upon the land of Egypt. They witnessed how the Lord delivered them by a mighty hand across the Red Sea. They saw that. They witnessed it. They were eyewitnesses. They had heard the stories of what God had done for their fathers. They knew those things. You know, we too today, as saints of God, as those who maybe were raised among the saints, those who grew up going to camp meeting, those who are accustomed to going to service day in and day out, it is a blessing. It is a treasure. It is to be held on to. In the time that we're living in, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. But you know, it's not enough for us to sit in these pews. It's not enough for us to go to camp meetings, though it is good and wholesome and profitable. This says, stir yourselves up. Exhort one another daily. How often? Frequently. Because there is a danger or a risk of our hearts becoming hardened. You think of maybe a hardened heart as being somebody who is in the far reaches of sin. Just way out there. You know their hearts are hard. But you know there's a process. And if we're not careful, our hearts can start becoming hardened. Think about this area of our yard. It's on a slope, on a hillside, and sometimes I have to drive up and down that, and the dirt is compressed, compacted together. It's got gravel, rocks in it. And we've been trying to plant some grass seed in it. But you know, in order for that grass seed to take hold, and it is yet to be seen whether we'll have any success. But in order for that grass seed to take hold, I can't very well just cast it on top of the hardened, packed, compacted soil. It needs to be loosened up a little bit for the seed to be able to find home. To be able to take root, our hearts have to be tender before the Lord. for His word and for His dealings to have any impact on my life. For I can go to service year after year. I can hear the messages time after time after time again. And I have a choice of what I do with that word. That word will accomplish something in my heart and life. It'll either serve the purpose that God sent it to serve, to challenge me, to deal with me, to open the eyes of my understanding. Or if I turn from it, if I don't allow that word to work in my heart and in my life, the consequence will be that the soil of my heart is compacted a little bit more and a little bit more. And it can get to a point that I might still come. I might still sit in the assembly of the saints. I might still come to camp meeting, but I can sit through service after service after service and my heart not once be touched. And I can say, well, it's the preacher's fault. Well, it's the saint's fault. But folks, this is for every one of us to examine ourselves. Lord, help me to have a tender heart. Lord, help me to have the soil of my heart. And I didn't have in mind to go and read the parable, but we're familiar with it in the 13th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus likened those that spread the gospel message to a man who's sowing seed. And some fell by the wayside. The wayside is hostile ground for seed to take root. It is that is packed down. Hard. I think of hard, dry, maybe clay that's just all packed in and the seed doesn't take root in that. Some seed fell among thorns and all of that, and those are pictures of the conditions of our heart. You can have two individuals sitting side by side in a service. You can have two individuals under the same message going forth. You can have two siblings under the same household, hearing the same instruction and the same counsel being given, and one will be affected unto righteousness and the other will go on their way, unaffected, unmoved. Two people sitting on the same pew, hearing the same message, and one go out and say, I didn't get a thing out of it. That was so dry. And somebody else say, I was so moved by that. I was so touched. Oh, the Lord dealt with my heart. What's the difference? The same message, the same word going forth. Folks, it is for me. I have a responsibility to do business with the Lord for my own soul. Oh, it says, harden not your hearts. Whenever we have seen the goodness of the Lord, and we have heard the messages, folks, we are responsible because of that. What will I do with the messages that I've heard? What will I do with the workings of God that I have witnessed in my life? I'll just say from my experience, I have seen people healed. I have seen people delivered from sin. I have seen prayers answered. I have seen godly men and women live this way before me. What will I do with it? The children of Israel had also witnessed God's workings in their life. But they hardened their hearts. Scripture says, of that time in Egypt, you'll no doubt remember it whenever the Lord was sending plagues, that it says He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now there's a lot that I don't understand. There's a lot of depths that I haven't reached, and maybe you have. I don't know altogether how that works, but there are a few things that I do understand. I know the Scripture says that if a man receive not a love of the truth, God will send a strong delusion. the prerequisite for that strong delusion. It is not just a preordained thing. Before you were born, that you were preordained, that your heart's going to be hard, that you're going to be lost. And that's another study. But folks, there is a place that I can put myself where I don't receive a love of the truth, that I don't have respect under the recompense of reward. The only thing that is left then is strong delusion. The only way that any one of us will be saved is if the Father draw. The only way that anybody will come to an understanding and a knowledge of the truth is if the Lord draw them, if the Lord woo them, if the Lord convict them through His Spirit. So if the Lord withdraws and He doesn't convict and He doesn't deal and He doesn't woo, we are left to destruction. We are left to hardness of heart. If the Lord pull back from any one of us, folks, we're in trouble. We need the Lord. We need the Lord's mercies and His dealings in our life. We need the fear of God upon our hearts. Pharaoh didn't have that. And the Lord allowed. The Lord yielded unto, I think of the scripture that says, how long will my spirit strive? He's not always going to strive with man. And the Lord, in those moments, He said, I will no longer strive, as I understand, as it comes to my mind. I will no longer strive with Pharaoh. I will no longer appeal unto him. And when the Lord pulls back, all that is left is darkness and hardness of heart. Folks, it puts a fear on my heart. Lord, don't pull back. Lord, please don't withdraw yourself from my life. Lord, please continue to touch my heart. Folks, conviction is a wonderful thing. It's like, well, it sure doesn't feel like it. It is a blessing from God. Whenever the Lord in His mercy comes along and talks to my heart, it makes me uncomfortable. It might make me squirm. It might make me say, oh no. But folks, don't turn from it. Don't harden your heart against the dealings of God. Don't turn whenever the Lord is appealing unto you, because I don't have a guarantee that He's going to still appeal to me tomorrow. I don't have a promise. The Lord is not obligated to come to me again tomorrow and again next year and again later in my life. Or I might say, well, on my deathbed, before I draw my last breath, the Lord is not obligated to come again and again and again. Oh, I'm so thankful that God is merciful and loving. But I dare not presume upon His mercies to harden myself against His dealings. I've known of people who have thought in their minds and have said with their mouth, I'm just going to go try it for a little while. I just want to go try the world for a little while. I just want to go and just have fun for a while. And then I'll come back. And I've known of those who have said, well, I'm going to go out and sin, and I'm going to partake of sin, and then I'm going to come back and get saved, and I'll have a wonderful testimony. Folks, we don't save ourselves. We don't convict ourselves. We are hopeless without the dealings of the Lord. And so, it is a dangerous thing to trample on the Lord's dealings and His mercies. When the Lord touches my heart, when the Lord is dealing with me, He said, today, if you will hear my voice. Do we want to hear the voice of the Lord? Have you heard it? Have you heard that still small voice? Maybe in the night talking to you and convicting. and comforting. There was a man that God called to be king, or God anointed king, who was small in his eyes, was used of God. But over the course of time, he allowed his heart to become hardened. And he began to be lifted up in pride, and he began to go his own way. And there came a time in King Saul's life that now is finally the time. Okay. All right, God, I need you. All right, I know I've gone my own way, and I'm adding some of this. I know I've gone my own way. I know I didn't obey you with the Amalekites. I know all of that. But Lord, I need you now. Oh, they're coming against me. And I realize now how desperately in need of God I am. And he called out and he cried and he said, I need to hear from God. And do you know what he heard? Silence. And he tried everything that he knew. Oh, has God given you something for me? He turned to Urim and Thummim, I believe, that was given in the Old Testament, whereby God could communicate to his people. Nothing. Folks, if we harden our hearts, I too could get into a place that I, maybe it's years down the road, and I've pushed the Lord off, and I've pushed the Lord off, and I've plugged my ears to his voice, and I've disregarded his call. And then I get to a place in my life that I say, okay, Lord, I need you now. Lord? And nothing. The thing that's worse than conviction is no conviction at all. I've told the story before about a couple Great Pyrenees dogs that we got. Very gentle dogs. Very stubborn dogs. And these dogs liked our yard, but they seemed to like the neighbor's yard even more. And the ducks that lived in the neighbor's yard. And so we had problems with that and tried to deal with it. We got an underground fence that you can bury the line around the perimeter of your property. You put a collar with a radio receiver on the dog. And when the dog approaches the boundary, it starts to beep and it starts to vibrate, trying to get the dog's attention. And there's a training routine that you go through. When you're training the dog and you walk them up to it, and when they feel that vibration, you pull them back and you reward them. And then you try a progression like that, and maybe a few times they feel the sting, the shock of the collar, and they yelp and they jump back and they associate with that boundary. There's pain involved. I don't want to go there. I don't want to cross that line. I might want the rabbit that's on the other side, but I do not want that. I don't want that shock. I don't want that pain. I don't want that sting. And so they are supposed to turn around and come back and stay within the boundaries of the yard. These dogs just refused to get it. We trained and trained. And when we were out in the yard, they would behave so nicely. And then we would go inside and we might look out and catch them in the act or get a call from our neighbor. They're over here again. And they'd just run right through. And sometimes they might even give a yelp as they go through. But you know, if you keep going far enough, you go beyond the range of that collar. And you don't feel anything anymore. The sting is gone. The notification is gone. And they're then on territory that they don't belong on. And in many cases, dangerous territory. You know, the Lord has given boundaries. It's not just to restrict and to make our lives miserable. You know that? The way of the Lord is tried and it's perfect and it rejoices the soul. I'm going to tell you, the Lord has a bountiful home for us. Everything that we could want and ask for. But inevitably, the devil's going to put something on the other side of the line. The other side of the boundary. He did with Adam and Eve. That there was that one tree that the Lord had given them a boundary. It wasn't a fence. It wasn't a concrete wall around it where they couldn't reach it. He gave them His Word. And you know that's what our boundaries today are marked by? They are marked by His Word. Now the Lord gives His Word and said, don't touch the unclean thing. Don't go out into sin. Don't take fire into your bosom. Don't go there. I want to speak for a moment to parents or grandparents that have a part to play in the raising of their grandchildren. We have a responsibility to train and impart to our children that there are boundaries. This world, and there's a generation coming on that doesn't want boundaries. It's not a new thing. But they don't want boundaries. You don't love me if you give me boundaries. But the greatest thing love could do is say, I want to keep you out of the thing that's going to destroy you. I don't want you to go down the path that leads to destruction. So there's boundaries here. And there is in this training program. It might last 18 years or whatever the Lord gives us. There is pain associated with the boundaries. We do our children a disservice if we follow and subscribe to the modern methods of parenting that tries to remove the negative association with boundaries, that tries to remove the physical punishment associated with boundaries. I believe that some of the children and the youth in our country that are so troubled today and rebel so much against authority, that sometimes what they really want is for some boundaries to be established. Well, I don't want to spend too much time on that. But there is a boundary established for mankind through the Word of God. And the Spirit of the Lord will attempt to correct us as we are approaching that boundary, as we're getting closer, as we're maybe looking to the other side of it. The Spirit of the Lord will endeavor to convict us. Don't go there. Don't steal that. Don't tell that. Don't look at that. But you know, I have a choice to make. I can respond to that voice and I can turn back to safety, or I can harden my heart and I can keep going. And that might progressively get worse. You know, the way of a transgressor is hard. But you know, I can keep going. And I can keep pressing down that path. And it might sting for a little while. You know, to a child that has been raised in the truth, there's something that they're going to have to push through. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. It'll still be there. There'll still be a boundary that they're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to stay inside of this that's been established? Or am I going to push through it? And it might be difficult. It is often a process. And I'm going to tell you, it is a painful process to watch. Whenever you see a young person or you see somebody, and you can watch them going down the path. No. Don't go that way. No, turn back. And your heart just, it hurts for them, because I know what's ahead of you. I know what's down that path. Don't go, and you might plead and you might cry and pray unto the Lord. Lord, turn them around. But they have to make the choice. You know, if they persist in pushing through those dealings, in pushing against those reservations, well, I feel guilty doing this. You know, if you push on, the time will come that you no longer feel guilty. If you persist, the time will come where you no longer feel the vibration, so to speak. You no longer hear that chastening voice saying, child, turn back. Then now you can just do it and not think a thing about it. Now you can do it and not feel the sting of guilt anymore. Maybe you can even come among the saints and proudly proclaim it and no longer feel the sting of guilt. I want to tell you, it's a dangerous place to be whenever our hearts are hardened. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Say, well, that's some pretty bad stuff. And it is. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That searing process is a process. It happens little by little. Where I turn from the voice of the Lord, where I harden myself against His dealings, where I steel myself against maybe it's altar call or the Lord's dealings in my heart and in my life, and I become a little more seared. You know what searing does? It removes your nerve endings. It calluses over your ability to feel and to sense. And that's what it's saying happens to these people who persist in going their own way. That the time will come. It's not the Lord's fault. That He has given them over to their choices. That He has ceased to continue to strive with man. And the result is that they don't feel the prick anymore. They don't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. They don't feel the sting of guilt anymore. Scripture says in Proverbs 29 and 1, he that is being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall be destroyed suddenly. Often reproved. And I think of that as being even the chastening of the Lord. Maybe the messages that we would sit on are being often reproved and dealt with and challenged. You know, we have a responsibility to that. And you know that rebellion can take a very subtle form. I might not walk out of a service saying, I want nothing to do with that. I rebel against that. You know, I can turn much more subtly and just kind of dismiss it out of my mind. Just kind of push it over to the side of my mind. Maybe even thinking, well, one of these days I'll deal with that. One of these days I'll take care of that. James said that the man who is a hearer of the word and not a doer deceives himself. And that's some of the danger for us. Again, in the midst of the blessing of being raised among God's people and being raised to come and to hear the Word of God preached, that I can become desensitized to the Word of God, where I'm not even moved by it anymore. I'm not challenged. I'm not moved to action anymore by the words that I hear. Today, how sensitive are you? This isn't just about emotion. How easy is it for the Spirit of the Lord to get your attention? When's the last time that you heard and you hearkened to the voice of God? Psalm number 418 in our book says this. While you are sliding God's mercy, harder and harder you grow. Down in the darkness you're choosing, thus in your folly to go. Folks, it is a dangerous thing to turn from God's dealings and His voice. And I would to God that there was more of a fear of God upon the hearts of our nation. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12 and verse 25. It says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Oh, for each one of us, let's make sure we don't turn from him that speaketh. Refuse not him that speaketh. When the Lord sends his word on any line, Lord, help me to be hungry. Lord, help me to have a desire for it. Not to harden our hearts. There is a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And I believe there's a lot of truth to it. You know, we can see it even in our homes, in our relationships. Relationship between a man and a wife. You know, you can become so familiar and you lose some of the respect for one another. Some of the tenderness. Some of the gentleness. You know, familiarity with the things of God can breed contempt. And I want us to understand what I mean by that. Not that, well, don't get too close to the Lord. No. But by us handling the things of God carelessly. By us even coming into our services. Folks, this is, it's not this building, but where the Lord meets with us is sacred. It is a sacred thing that we do. Do I treat it as sacred? Do I have a reverence on my heart when I come into the presence of God? Or have I begun to get just so familiar and so casual with it? Oh, I know everybody that's here and there's just a few of us. Do I enter into His presence with awe on my heart? With reverence in my heart. We need the fear of God. And we are here to do business with our souls. We don't go to camp meeting just to see one another. Or just to have a reunion. But Lord, I want to do business for eternity. I'd like to look at a scripture in the book of Mark. It's not only... Well, there's a scripture, maybe we read it, where it was talking about exhort one another daily, lest your hearts be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. There is a deceitfulness of sin. But it's not just those far out there sin, or people in sin. I want to look at what Jesus said to his disciples. In the book of Mark, read the 6th chapter. Mark chapter 6. The 50th verse. This is when the disciples were out in the night. The waves and the wind was ferocious. And they saw Jesus walking upon the sea. When they saw him, 49, walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. For their heart was hardened. Now this is talking about the disciples. Their heart was hardened. You know, there can be degrees of hardness. And it's saying here that they had seen the miracles that Jesus had performed. But how quick it left their mind. How far it was from their recollection and their meditations in that moment. Oh Lord, help us to meditate upon the things of God. You ever been surprised when God answered prayer? When the Lord, look what the Lord did. Well, we were asking Him to, weren't we? Lord, help us to have tender hearts, to think upon the mercies of God. When we get into our troubles, not to become distressed, so we can become desensitized to the mighty power of God in our lives. And it can lead us to a place of fear and distress and turmoil of heart and of mind. And the Lord saying, don't you remember who I am? Don't you remember the miracles that you've seen? Don't you remember? Well, let's look at what He said in Mark the 8th chapter. Maybe give a little more color to it. Mark chapter 8 says similarly, well, they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, He saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Is this so far removed from you? Are you so insensitive to the things of God that you're not receiving? And I've wondered for myself, how many times have I missed what's right in front of me that the Lord's trying to do? How many times do I rush along through life and I miss what God has for me? We need a tender heart. 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter. So what do we do if we realize, you know what, I had become desensitized. I've allowed my heart to become hardened. I'm not moved. I'm not touched anymore. You know, we need to ask the Lord to give us a tender heart. The Lord can do a heart transplant. It's what He came to do. He said, I'll take away that stony heart, that old hardened heart. I'm going to take it and I'm going to give them a heart of flesh, soft, tender, responsive. You know, the Lord is still in the business of giving heart transplants. The Lord is still in the business of softening hearts. Read about a King Josiah. I'm not going to read much of his story, but after his father and grandfather, the wickedness that they had done as kings, Josiah came along and he was of a different heart. His heart was tender towards the Lord, responsive to God's dealings. And he, whenever the book of the Lord, of the law was found and it was read, he was moved by that. And he responded to it, and they began to seek the Lord and to call upon Him. Well, I want to read in the 19th verse of 2 Kings 22, because the Lord saying unto Josiah, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. You know, humility goes a long ways. When we'll humble our hearts before the Lord, when we'll set ourselves to seek God, Josiah had a tender heart. And the Lord, looking down at all the wickedness that had been brought into Israel and even into the temple itself, and God was angry against the wickedness, He saw a man whose heart was tender. And you know, in our land of wickedness today, the Lord would look down and see, you are my heart. If our hearts are tender towards Him, folks, the eye of the Lord goes to and fro throughout the earth. He wants to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. Is your heart tender to the Lord today? Responsive? Is it sensitive to God's dealings? Sensitive to His Word? Job 23:23 says, God maketh my heart soft. That was Job. Well, you know what he had gone through before he said this? You know how the Lord softens hearts? Sometimes it's painful. probably always it's painful. But the Lord knows how to soften hearts. The Lord knows how to soften your and my heart if we'll allow it. The Lord sent some sickness. He sent friends turning on him. His wife turned on him. He had the boils. He lost his family. He lost everything he had. And he said, God maketh my heart soft. You know, the Lord knows how to send into our lives what we need to make heaven. We heard that in our revival recently. The Lord knows how to put in our life what we need to make heaven. The Lord knows when my heart's starting to get a little calloused and by the deceitfulness of sin all around and by life itself, and my heart is starting to get calloused against the Lord. You know, the Lord knows how to send into my life that which will soften my heart again. But as Hebrews 12 says, of the chastening of the Lord, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised thereby, to those that allow it to work in their lives. You see, hardship doesn't necessarily bring softness of heart. That's what it's designed by the Lord to bring. But we can, even in that, harden our hearts, and it'll pack the heart even harder. Lord, help us to be exercised, to yield myself to God's workings in my life. There have been times that I've recognized in myself, Lord, I just feel like I've become kind of numbed to your dealings. Lord, I don't feel like I'm moved like I used to be. Lord, I remember how tender my heart used to be. Folks, I just tell you, even as a minister, I have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, soften my heart. Lord, help me not to, by the things I deal with in life, and Lord, help me not to allow my heart to become hardened. Lord, help me not to become desensitized or calloused against God or others. Lord, keep my heart soft. If that's our heart, the Lord knows how to do it. It might be through affliction, through hardship. The writer of Hebrews said, of those who receive strong meat, said, to those who have their senses exercised to discern. We're going to have to exercise ourselves to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. And it comes in our everyday walking with the Lord, learning to hear His voice. It means I'm going to have to shut things out. I'm going to have to get quiet sometimes. I'm going to have to listen for the voice of the Lord. I'm going to have to stop in the busyness of life and say, Lord, I shut it all out. I put my phone on do not disturb, whatever I've got to do. Lord, make my heart soft. Lord, talk to me. Lord, help me to hear your voice. Because I can go on just not even thinking in my mind, well, I'm rebelling against God. But I can just go on in the busyness of life and a day go by. A few days go by, a week, a few weeks, months go by, and I haven't really gotten in touch with God. You know what begins to happen? You ever found this in your life? I don't need hands. But you become less and less sensitive to the things of God. Less and less appetite for the things of God. The hardness of heart. We're told in Ephesians, to be kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know the Lord wants a people who are tender-hearted, loving one another, where I can be touched by what you're going through, and you can be touched by what I am. Do we want that kind of heart? A heart that is tender to the things of God. Hosea, the 10th chapter, the 12th verse, tells us that it is time to seek the Lord until He rain righteousness upon us. It is time to break up our fallow ground. Fallow ground isn't, that's not fertile soil. It's not soil that's been worked up and ready to bring forth plentifully. In the hardness of life, and the compaction that it can have upon our hearts. You know, we're instructed to break up our fallow ground. We have to take the initiative. So it tells me that I need to seek the Lord. I need to take the act. When I recognize my heart has started becoming hardened, I need to take the action. Lord, I'm going to seek you. I don't want to. I might not even feel like in that. That's what hardness does. That I don't even necessarily feel like seeking the Lord. You know, I can get into a place where I don't even feel the dealings of the Lord. I can come to service and I don't even feel a thing. Oh, this dry adult. Lord, give me something. Lord, help me to get a hold of something in my heart. And if we seek the Lord, Lord, break it up. Lord, turn over what's in my heart. Send my way what you see is needed. Folks, set yourselves fast and pray. This is dangerous stuff. When our heart starts becoming hardened, you know what it says? Until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Folks, the Lord will be faithful to come when we seek the Lord. We recognize that my heart has started becoming hardened. You know, if we'll set ourselves to seek the Lord, if we'll turn our heart towards the Lord and seek him, you know, he'll come. He'll come. Maybe it's not even a first call. Maybe the Lord's going to test and see how much do they really want this. How much do they really... But if you set yourself, set your face like a flint, Lord, by your help I'm going to heaven. By your help I'm going to seek you until you work with my heart again. Folks, he'll come and rain righteousness upon us. And then our hearts will be prepared to receive the rain. And then it'll come and it won't be like the hard compacted dirt that the water just runs off of. But it'll just start to soak in and penetrate. And you'll start to see the flowers bloom again. Lord, help us to have a tender heart. You pray for me. Amen.